The title of the discourse is Teach Us to Number Our Days. However, I have a subtitle, which is very it's shorter, if you want to put it on the tape, on the CD. I know that it's better to have a short subject. And I put the subtitle of my discourse, I Don't Have Time. This is the sentence saying which is repeating, especially in my life recently. I don't have time. But should we talk about it in the congregation of saints, of brethren? Should we talk about time? I think we should. And I found a scripture which I would like to support this short talk. And I choose Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. And it says, So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Our days, our months, our years. It's about time. It happened that people learned to measure the time. And especially recently, within past maybe 30, 50 years, people learned to measure time very precisely, in such a precision that they can measure fractions of the seconds up to third, fourth, fifth space after the dot. And a few years back, we had an opportunity to watch the Olympics in Canada, in Vancouver. And once we were watching it, we saw the seconds go very quickly. Athletes compete. And, you know, those fractions of the seconds were going very fast. And what happened? If we'll just measure time by seconds, we'll realize that there was like 5 or 10 athletes which were exactly same time. Yet, once they were measuring in fractions, they were just fraction of the second faster. And that brought them to the glory. So, we can measure the time. And another example of measuring the time is measuring how fast light is traveling. We can measure that now. We can measure how far is a star, how far is a moon, in the light of how many years light is traveling, how many hours, and so on. So, God gave us time. Brethren, usually this discourse would be very good at the end of the year. And I must tell you that I was thinking about this discourse actually quite far from end of the year. However, it came to my mind that end of the year, usually we are talking about the time. Why? Because the date is changing, and we actually are using just Gregorian calendar to measure the years and days. But Jews, they are measuring time differently. They have a beginning of the year in a different time. And we may also measure the time from Sturgis Convention to Sturgis Convention. So it's a good opportunity to make our resolutions. It's a good time to think about being thankful to the Lord for everything we are receiving from Him. It's good to review last year, to make resolutions, to think about consecration, make a new resolution, but how long they will last? Brethren, this is a time where an anniversaries, end of the year, where we realize that time is passing by. We should have this kind of so-called end of the year every day. We should examine ourselves in the evening and see what happened with our lives, how our resolution passed by. We should make a plans for the next day, how should we serve the Lord. It's like end of the year every day. Doesn't it sound like an evening prayer? Once we are ending the day and talking to the Lord, we are examining ourselves. This is our end of day, end of year, and let's make a resolution for the next one. The time is passing by. The God is God of order, God of law and harmony. And God create everything in very precise points in time. How can we know that? I think we should support it with the scriptures. Let's read Galatians 4 chapter and 4 verse. Galatians 4 chapter and 4 verse. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Did you realize, brethren? Not earlier, not later, when the fullness of the time came. Above verse is fulfillment of the time, also according to the prophecies we receive. There was exact and precise date coming of the Messiah, especially his death. And I think those who are studying for a longer period of time, you know prophecy about 70 weeks. Was not that clear at that time. However, God gave the hint that there is an exact time. It was hidden. However, the God fulfilled it at the exact time. But God does not need time. He is eternal. Time, brethren, was created for us. Time is given for us to repent, to fix our shortcomings, to change our lives, to prepare for kingdom. Sometimes we remember that if David or others sin or made a transgression or sin, the penalty never came right away. There was a shorter period of time. There was a prophet who was coming in and telling the story. And then there was a time for repentance. There was a time to see what heart conditions is there. God created time for us. And he created his divine plan for the world. He planned it all very carefully. And as examples, we can see how creation was done. World creation didn't happen right away. There was a correct order. Man was not created first and then realized, oh, he doesn't have a place to live. Everything was created at correct order. The plants, the light, the animals, everything was in its order. Order and wisdom. We could see God's attributes in his plan. Wisdom, love, righteousness, and power. And he planned salvation. He planned to bring people back to harmony with his law. We read that Lamb and church was foreknown before world was created. What a great plan. Let's read 1 Peter First chapter and 19 verse. It's a 1 Peter, first chapter and 19 verse, and on. But with precious blood, as of lamb, without spot, even blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Again, God had plan. He predicted what's going to happen. And he predicted the Lamb before everything happened. Ephesians 1:4, we read in the Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him, when? Again, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He chose us in him before foundation of the world. What's a great plan? What is a great God's plan? Brethren, the greatness of the God's plan is beyond our understanding. We just know, we are lucky to know that his plan, because he revealed it through his plan and his servants. Time is also given to us, and time is proving or showing our faithfulness. And there is one sure date in the Bible, very precise date, which is beyond any discussion, and the date is very exact. And I'll give you this verse, which is telling us with exact moment in time. It's Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. That's the sure date. That's the date where we have to work on our shortcomings or our weaknesses and fix them all up. And it shows where we need to work more. And brethren, that's why sometimes we think, why we are still here, why this and that is happening. Because God has his plan, and we have to follow it, and we have to work thankfully to his time, which is he giving us, to make sure that we develop our character on his image correctly. Let's move on the time subject. Did you hear saying that time is money? I think we all know. And I think we have a scripture to support it as well. I know this is the our today's saying, maybe more 21st than 20th century, but I found also the support for this in the scriptures, and it's Ephesians 5:15 and 16. Ephesians 5:15 to 16. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming time, because the days are evil. Redeeming time, buying time. Time is money. So, can I buy time? Is time money? If it's that, I would like to buy. I'll give some money to buy it. How much can I pay? Can I sell my time? Brethren, there is no such a thing as buying it. Nobody can buy more time. Nobody can have 48 hours per day. But we have to be careful as well, because there are thieves out there. And we have to be aware of those. Who are those? There are those who are stealing the time from us. Thief of time. What is it? Who is it? It is various tasks. It could be the TV. It could be our computer. Can someone steal time for us, really? No. It's not possible unless we will allow for it. Brethren, once I was studying quite a few years back, I noticed that I'm running out of time before the exam. And students can tell that if you look at the students, they always don't have time. They are running out of time right before the exam, studying late and so on. Doesn't apply to other students? Does it apply to Bible students? We'll come back to this thought. So, I don't have time. Brethren, it is not true, because all of us, we all have the same amount of time per day. We have 24 hours. It's just how do we feel about that time? I remember once I was a child, and I think you brethren remember that too, that time was going really slow. I remember once I didn't show up on time at home. My father said, "You are not riding the bike for 1 day or 1 hour." Oh boy, 1 hour? It was such a long time. Or once I didn't show up again, "You are not riding the bike for a week." Oh, wow, that was the end of the world. It was forever. Then we are growing up. Then we are going to school. And then we are counting the time from 9 o'clock to 3 or 4, because, you know, that's the time where we are at school, and then we are finally off. Then we are coming and becoming the family. Then the time goes really fast. Then the time goes week by week, from meeting to meeting, from convention to convention, from weekend to weekend, from month to month. Then we realize that we are closer to retirement age, and we are counting it year by year. And that year is becoming way shorter than that 1 hour without a bike. Time. There are times where our time pass go very fast. We just started the convention, it's almost over. We just go and meet with brethren for a week of the convention, and it's almost over, because it's a very pleasant time and it goes very fast. But there are times where time is going very slow. Times when we are sick, when we are going through trials and difficulties, when we are alone, there is no brethren around, then sometimes the day is going very long. It's about the feeling of the time. And I think that everyone who lives on this earth longer can say that once we get older, the times go faster and faster. But really, this is the same amount of time, and still we cannot buy or sell it. Did people in old days have more time than we have today? Brethren, I think that we'll go and look back. It may look like it, but I think that it's all about how do we feel about it. Brethren, I named my discourse like subtitle, I don't have time. But I shouldn't really say that anymore. Because I should say to myself, I did something else, though I didn't do this. By choice or by a force. We need to be honest. We need to organize ourselves. There is more and more things to take care of, so we still have the same amount of time we had in the past, or our grandfather had. We are talking about the time thieves. However, we agree to give it up. To give up our time. TV, games, sports, computer, our hobbies, magazines, internet, and following the news, technology, work, more money, etc. So, how can we redeem time? How can we get it? How can we get more and more? We read in Ephesians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And days are more difficult to redeem it and harder to redeem. And why is that? What happened to the time once I was a kid and we were gathering with brethren, we didn't rush home? What happened to the time where there was a time to sing more hymns? And sometimes we noticed that, you know, we have to sing just one verse or two verses because time is up. Brethren, we are giving up this time. We are voluntarily giving it away. And the days are evil. What does it mean? It's gonna be more and more expensive to redeem the time in the last days, in our days. Because we also have more and more things to take care of. We possess more things than our parents or our grandparents had. And not because we all of a sudden got richer, it's because the world is having it available for us. Let's take a look at a few examples. Let's take a look at the car. There used to be a car. Now, we have economy car, family car, luxury car, mini car, minivan car, SUV car, small pickup car, big pickup car, motorhome car, sport car, collector car, small trailer, small motorhome, big motorhome, summer tires, just the tires. There was just a tire in the past. You go and bought a tire. Now, we have summer tire, winter tire, sport tire, off-road tire, all-season tires, cosmetics, cream. And for a day, for a night, for wrinkles, for dry skin, for oily skin, for sensitive skin, etc., etc. Now, electronics. We have a TV, we have a watches, not the watch. My grandfather had just a watch and he just wearing it once a week, not to damage it, but now we have a watches. Clocks, alarm clocks, we have computers, and I remember the day when I brought a computer home. It was in Central Place and it was just a computer. Everybody was looking at it, but now we have laptops, iPhones, BlackBerry, iPads, tablets, and not mentioning all the chargers, which are always lost and somewhere else, and we are forgetting those, and we have to take care of them. We are getting emails. What a wonderful way to communicate. But I realized one day I got more than 100 emails. Work-related. I had to get through it. And what it requires? My time. But emails are not all. We have chats, internet, website, Facebook, Twitter. We have phones. We have landlines, faxes, printers, scanners, wired, some wireless. We have in the kitchen stoves, microwaves, oven, coffee makers, cappuccino makers, blenders, refrigerators, dishwashers. We have knives. Knife for bread, knife for fish, knife for fruits, knife for butter, knife for cheese, knife for steak. Brethren, I remember my grandfather. He was born in very early 90s. And once we lived together in one home, I remember one thing. He had one knife. One single knife. And he was using it for all everything. Cutting the bread, putting the butter on it, sharpening the pencil, everything. It was his knife. It was that long. Metal knife, I remember, I can picture in my mind. And that's not it. We also have utility knife for carpet, for wallpapers, for drywall. We have drills, tools, lawnmowers. Remember your bike? It's not that simple anymore. We have a mountain bike, street bike, race bike. Brethren, you name it. We can go on and on and on. I spent a few minutes just to mention a fraction of things 21st or 20 and 21st century brought into our lives. And brethren, we have to take care of it. We need to spend time for those, to maintain those. We have to find that charger for the phone because we will not be able to work next day. We have to wash all those special dishes. We have to take care of those special tools. And again, it's taking our time. So here is where we are lacking of that time. That's why we don't have time. We don't have time to meet. We don't have time to talk each other, to study and to read. It's turning out that young people right now are meeting on the so-called Facebook. Instead of taking your one and only bike and go to your friend, be together and socialize in the real physical way. Do something together, walk somewhere. Did you realize how much we have and how little time we have because of that? But that's not it. To make our situation even worse, we don't even have time for thinking. And it happens that if we don't, others do. Others will think for us. And they will tell us. They will tell us what we want, what we need, how to dress, how to decorate our home, what to drive, what to eat or not to eat, where to go, how to live. We are becoming a robots manipulated by commercials and marketing. It's happening that if you walk in the store, it's not like somebody threw in the groceries in there for you to buy. There is a reason why in, let's say, Safeway, pharmacy is at the end of the store. So you will walk and you will see, your eyes will see all those groceries and everything, so you may pick up this and that. We need more and more. We need or we want. We often, brethren, have more than we ever dreamed of. I remember talking with my coworker who came from China. And brethren, you know what was his dream? His dream was to have enough food for the next day. He came to Canada and he told me that his parents were teaching him how to get food for the next day. And he had to do it in the evening when it was dark, so nobody will throw him away on the back of the restaurant once he was getting all the waste of food. His dream was to have his own room, just at least with his brother, because in one room there was eight of them living in one room. He came to Canada and he said to me, you know, I cut myself wanting more and more. I have a house, two cars, and I want bigger house. I want bigger home. If we think about it, let's, brethren, remember what our dream was and what we have now. And then he told me, ask yourself always a question. Do you want it or you need it? What is your need? I would like to tell you one story which was told to me by an older man. And the story is about the fisherman who was standing and leaning on his own boat on the seashore. And the businessman was coming by and asking, hey, fisherman, isn't your boat? Yes, it is. So why don't you go and fish? It's a beautiful day. It's, you know, sunny and calm sea. You can fish lots of fish. Well, I was already fishing and I sold it. It was a good day. So I'm done. I said, so why don't you go in the second run and third run? And what? Well, then you catch more fish and you have more money. And then what? Fisherman replied. And then you can buy a second boat and hire more people. And then what? And then you buy another boat and another, you know, you'll have a whole fleet. And then, you know, you'll get more fish and you'll sell it more. And then what? And he said, well, then the people will work and you will have time to enjoy the nature. And the fisherman said, and what do you think I'm doing now? And sometimes, brethren, once we think about it, it's like this. We are setting up our goals and this goal is always ahead of us. It's like that carrot in front of the donkey on the fishing rod. So donkey will always go and the carrot will be always those few steps in front of him. We should think what we really wanted and the Lord gave it to us and we should be content of that. So what we need and where is the value? Is the value in all those things? In Ecclesiastes, second chapter and first verse. Ecclesiastes 2nd chapter, 1st verse, we read, I said in my heart, come now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Ecclesiastes 2:10 and 11. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced because of all my labor, and this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Brethren, these are words for Solomon, the wise man. If we think about it, let's look how we are getting those things we really need. First, we are working to get those things and we have to pay for it. Then we have to pay to get rid of it. We have to pay to dispose it. And you know what? It all requires our time. Did you see how many garage sales are? Sometimes if you pass by the garage sale, there is a brand new item in the box, not opened yet. $5. If you look at the sticker, price was about 50, maybe even 100. Just give me $5 so I don't have to pay to dispose it. And they didn't even open it. So let's think about it, brethren. Do we really need it or we really want it? So we have to develop a plan. We have to manage our plan. And how plan is important? I remember my first lesson on computer programming. And I think Brother Peter will will agree with this. On the whiteboard, the teacher wrote, "Failing to plan is planning to fail." Because if you don't plan at the beginning, what you're gonna do, how your program will look like, what you will drive, how you will drive there, you will go nowhere. You will fail. We are very lucky that our Father has such a great plan. And now we know why He planned the Lamb Church before even foundation of the world. Somebody counted. If we make a good planning, 1 minute of planning will save 4 minutes of savings. It's going to be 4 minutes of saving. If you will spend 1 minute to plan something, we will save 4 minutes of our work without planning. As a matter of fact, companies have people to plan production and what is put where exactly on the line, production line, same thing on the desk. So if people are reaching for something, they will not make unnecessary moves. So the production will go faster. People are planning how to organize the desk of the worker. So we have to plan our days as well. The TV, internet, and books, these are all good things. But we have to plan what we want to read, what we want to watch, and there are tons of good books, tons of good programs, but we should watch or read only best of the best. We have to plan our work, we have to plan our day. We have to give up, we have to pay with non-important things, useless things, and apply it where needed the most. We have to take that time and spend it on the most important things, which is planning for the Lord time. But it's not there. I don't have time. I have to redeem it because days are evil. We have to make it my custom. Every day we have to plan the next day. And little by little, and it will become a part of our daily things. We have to start with the small things, maybe little one, to see how we succeeded. And then make sure that daily we'll plan for the next day. And we need to work hard. We need to work hard for the Lord. Brethren, so we have to plan and work for the Lord. Do you know the proverb about lazy men? There is one. It's very well known to you. Usually we are applying this, looking at that proverb from a different angle. But let's look at the proverb about lazy men. And this is the proverb about talents. And that one who took a talent and hid it was a lazy man. He didn't want to work on it. He didn't think even that he can go to those who are buying and selling, and if he couldn't work it out, he could put it to work. But yet, he didn't do that. And for those who have your own businesses, and I know that there is many of you, because you have farms. You are hiring people to help during the harvest, during the seeding. Would you hire the lazy man? I don't think so. And I think we are looking for efficient people. And as a matter of fact, before we head to the Portland Convention, I just finished up at my client side setting up the time and attendance system in the greenhouse where at every second row of plants, there was a computer to check how much time that person took to do the work and that aisle. Why? Because the times later on during the year go slower and they cannot keep all the workers. So they would like to keep the best ones. Those ones who work the best, who work the hardest. And what do you think, brethren? Who are we? We are those workers. And the Lord is hiring us. And He is not hiring us forever. This is just for a certain period of time. Be faithful unto death. And that's the time we have now to make sure that we'll work. And this is the most important work we have to do. Unfortunately, the numbers are not that great. If there is a big group, big class, it's looking better. Usually, if you look at it, 10, maybe 20% of brethren are involved very actively in the work for the Lord. But out of 100 brethren, 10% is just 10. Maybe 20 would be just 20. But if you will go to the small class, where is 20 brethren, there is just 2 of those. And if there is 10 brethren in the class, it's even less. So what is the lesson for us from that? It means less hands to work, and we have to really start from and do beginning to work from ourselves. That's the key, brethren. That's the key where we can increase that percentage, we can increase that number to make sure that we are working for the Lord. And we have Apostle Paul who is telling us in 2 Timothy 2 chapter and 15 verse. He is giving the advice to young Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. In other words, don't be lazy, get up and work. Do the good work for the Lord. Good workmanship. What is it? Is it preparing ourselves to the meeting? Do the studies, do the reading, not hiding that talent we got. And that talent is not only talent of playing or talent of speech or talent of doing things. We are getting something. We are getting that pearl and we have to work with it. So, if the question is there, does anybody have a choice of the hand? There are no hands. Who would like to read the chapter? There are not hands. Who read the article in advance for our today's study? Oh, maybe one hand of sister who cannot really read, but she did that. And where am I? How am I prepared? How much time do I spend for the Lord? Brethren, this is that end of the year. This is that end of our day where we should examine ourselves, not at December 31st at our evening meeting. It should be our evening meeting with the Lord, the time of the prayer, and we should think, like we think in the morning, with the morning resolve, what I gave to the Lord for all the blessings I received. Let's repeat that in the evening. What did I do today? How much time I dedicated for the Lord from my day? Because days goes by. And it's better to realize that, oh, yesterday I did this, oh, today I didn't do nothing. It's better to realize then than to realize at December 31st, oh, I didn't have time to go to any convention this year. Oh, I didn't study this. How many Sundays did I not to go to the meetings? That's why we should do our end of the year every day. Brethren, times are tough. the faith is decreasing, and people are replacing it with their own so-called intellectual explanation, pushing faith and Bible aside. Scientists and psychologists are explaining every single thing. People have to prove everything. Where is the faith? We are looking at documentaries where one group of scientists is fighting another group of scientists. One is supporting Bible, the second is not supporting the Bible. It's great. I heard this saying from one brother who said, if science supports the Bible, it's good for science. If it's not, it's not good for the science. And sometimes we are trying to see, oh, maybe Bible is not that, it's not that as it says, because, you know, science is proving different things. And all of a sudden, 20, 30 years later, they are saying, oh, you know what? We were wrong. It's actually the same as the Bible says. Where is the faith? We should spend our times wisely. Do we spend our time also to encourage each other and others, or we are spending our time to bring them down, to discourage them? Example, I remember, many of you remember 70s, where there was UFO and everybody was scared of it. There was, you know, the green people and the flying saucers, and everybody's looking at the sky and when they are gonna land. Well, right now, in the year 2000, nobody's even saying those things anymore. But that, by then, people were really scared about the invasions of aliens. But now, we had the year 2000. All the computers, all planes will be grounded. It will fall off. Well, it didn't happen. But then we had an economy. We heard predictions of human calculations of end of the world, comets, floods. Are we comforting each other, or we are pulled into talking about the wrong and evil and scary things? We should, as we have it in the Bible, raise our heads. We have that great hope, hope of the kingdom, which we are looking forward to. We should encourage each other. If you look at the news, there is nothing good about the news. People want to hear a bad news. Nobody is watching the news where everything is fine. It would be boring. The journalists are looking for wrong and bad things which are happening, the terrifying things, to keep people glued to the TV. Instead of comforting and encouraging, that's what we should do to our brethren. That's how we should spend our time, to hold each other's hands, to hold them up. Brethren, how we will use the time? Time can bring us closer or further to the Lord. And we know that it flows equally for everyone. Either we are young, we are old. It depends on us, and entirely on us, if we'll go narrow way to the Lord or we'll choose other way, maybe easier, more pleasant for us and for others. It all depends on us. Apostle Paul, during the day, if you look at him, how was he living on this earth? During the day, he was going from town to town. He was preaching the gospel. He was writing the letters. And we know that at night, he was making a tent. He was working too. Why? Because he didn't want to be a burden to the brethren. He knew that we need to take care of the daily lives as well. And Brethren, we can take a lesson from that as well. That everything also costs money. We have to work. We have to live somehow in this world. But we have to examine it, how much time we are giving to the Lord. This is our consecration. Are we consecrating our time? What is our hobby? What is our rest? Is it spending time with the Lord? People are spending lots of money on their hobby. They're buying collector cars for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Others who do not have money, we realized on the campground once we were with brethren there, one man was making a plane out of the Coke cans, like pop. It was really nice. It was very carefully cut it out and everything was moving around. You can put it on your RV and, you know, it was spinning, adjusting to the wind and so on. And he was so proud. He was talking to us about it. Very nice, beautiful. But shouldn't we spend that time with brethren and to serve him and to study? This is all up to us. What we will put in front of us as our hobby and what we'll put the priority on. We are brethren all week. We need different things. But as long as we have that in mind, and as long as we put the Lord first, we'll adjust. And we'll sometimes have to stop. And it's good to stop ourselves in the evening, once the day is done, and we can see how that day goes by. Brethren, we need each other. We need everyone to study. We need to spend time together. We need each other once we are failing. We need each other to comfort each other. And we never will be able to come to knowledge without studying with brethren. Although on our camping trip last week, we had just 3 studies of Book of Esther, I remember a few highlights. Once one sister, she said, once we read about how Mordecai and Israel is supposed to be destroyed and completely cast out from the earth by Haman, she mentioned this. Did you realize that Israel was persecuted from the day it was formed? Once the nation was formed, Satan was trying to destroy this nation with passion all the time, all the time. Well, we all knew about it, but it wouldn't come to my mind if that sister wouldn't point it. That's how important our meetings. And why was that? Because Satan didn't want the Messiah to be born. These are those jewels we are getting on the Sundays. But we have to remember that we have to make our time every day. Make that 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute to examine the day. And what can I do to improve it, to make sure that I will dedicate maybe at the beginning very little time for the Lord. Maybe a little more, little more. And it will become our custom. I remember once my father, grandfather was coming in the morning, sometimes bringing the fresh buns. His question was, okay, so what the new creature had for breakfast? And you know what that mean? Exactly, sister was right. What's the manna text? Are we feeding our new creature daily? Maybe we forget. I forget very often. I'm lucky because my wife will text me the text manna. If she realized that we didn't read it, she will send it to me through email. So once I'm at work, I have a few minutes to read it. But that's how it is. If we'll not feed our new creature, it will die. As if we'll not feed our current body, then we will die. We have to eat. We have to find time for eating, although fast or so, but we have to. Let's make it custom for our new creature too. We have to feed our new creature. Brethren, I would wish that that new year, new day, which is starting from now on, will be full of blessings to you. Let's plan time for the Lord. Let's starting with small things. Let this new day, month, and year will be fullness and of time for the Lord. And let's use our time wisely. I can see that the chairman is here, so I have to conclude my discourse because I don't have time. May the Lord add his blessings.